Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline lovers, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So guess what? It's kitten season. Actually, we're kind of in the middle of kitten season, so I'm a little late, but I have a guest with me today that's going to tell us all about kitten season and more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Tori Fugate. She is the Director of Communications at Shelter Animals Count. Welcome, Tori.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
I'm very excited to have you. You know, kitten season is near and dear to my heart. Two of my fur babes, my cats, are from kitten season. And just in that little rescue, I learned so much. But before we get into kitten season, can you tell us your background and tell us also what Shelter Animals Count is all about?
Absolutely. So I am relatively new to the Shelter Animals Count team. And by relatively new, I've been here a little bit over 9 months, but I am not new to sheltering. So I worked for almost 13 years for the Kansas City, Missouri Animal Shelter. It's called Casey Pet Project. We are a nonprofit that runs the municipal shelter for the city of Kansas City, Missouri. And started back in 2012 whenever the city put out a bid for somebody to run the shelter. And it was a really, really old place. And, you know, nobody really wanted to run it. And this organization stepped up and said, you know, we can really do this and do this well for the city of Kansas City, Missouri. So I started really in its infancy as an organization and saw it grow from taking in about 6,000 animals a year to in 2024, there were about 16,000 animals that came into the shelter. So grown rapidly over the course of the last 12, 13 years. Got to be a part of a brand new shelter that was built in Kansas City and got to be part of just this very progressive organization that did a lot for kittens in our community. You know, we were averaging about 2,500 kittens in foster every year. It was a hugely robust foster program. And so I left there at the end of last year and joined the Shelter Animals Count team, where I handle all of the communications, all the marketing for our very small and mighty team. But we are an organization, national organization, that collects data and analyzes it for shelters and rescues across the country. We have thousands of animal shelters that submit data to us, and we are able to then take that data and analyze it and tell you what's happening. What are the trends in animal sheltering that is impacting our industry today? So we look at, we have two reports that we do each year. We have our annual report that comes out at the beginning of every year, and then we are gearing up for our mid-year analysis. So that mid-year analysis does come out after the first 6 months of the year, and we're kind of able to tell you, you know, we're really able to tell you what's happening in animal sheltering for the first half of the year, kind of what's to be expected. And, you know, another thing that we offer all of our organizations that submit data to us, we have these incredible dashboards and portals that organizations can get into that look at. They can look at a data outlook of like what their data is looking like for the year, what forecasting is looking like. We're working on other dashboards as well for our organizations. There's grant opportunities for those who submit data to us. Wow. And really, like, we just can't do the work without the organizations that submit data to us. And we're able to put this data out there for everybody to look at for the year.
No, that's great. I especially love the fact that the shelters have access to a portal and that there's grants that are available as well.
Absolutely. Yep. We offer, we do data drives and stuff throughout the year. So if you submit data to us, then you automatically qualify for grants. So it's a huge win-win to sign up to submit data to us. And it's free to submit data as well.
That makes it even better because there's so many rescues out there. I'm just curious about this. How many rescues and shelters would you say there are in the U.S.?
So we analyzed that there were 13,527 animal sheltering organizations that operated in 2024 in the United States. So that breaks down to a little over 4,100 shelters and about 9,400 rescues. And we collect and analyze data for both shelters and rescues because it's very important to tell both of the stories of what's happening in the shelters and what's happening in foster-based rescues as well.
Right. And these are only... Now, there are other possible rescues and shelters that are not incorporated.
So the data that we do collect, we have over 7,000 organizations that submit data to us. And then our data team actually built in this scientific estimation model. So we're able to, with the help of this model, you know, put together, like fill in the gaps of those organizations that maybe we don't have data from. Good. And there's a lot of information on our website about what goes into this model that we do have. But it really does help us, you know, fill in the gaps. And our goal, of course, is 100% participation because without the data, we can't tell the story. And it's so important that every animal is counted and that every organization's efforts are amplified.
Yes, it is. Now, we're talking about kitten season. We're going to get into that in a second. But you also do dogs as well?
We collect and analyze data for both dogs and cats, but you can also submit data for really any species that you're caring for. So horses, we analyze equine data, small animals, livestock, you know, whatever it is that your organization cares for, you can submit that data. We also have our community services dashboard. So if you are an organization that provides services to the community, such as giving out pet food, supplies, maybe you're a low-cost veterinary clinic or you're offering medical services to the community, you can also submit that data through our community services dashboard. So that is another way that you can submit data to us. And it's really important to note that data as well, because we understand that shelters are really having to provide a lot more community services, such as giving out pet food and offering those low-cost services to the community or free services. So if you are an organization that provides any sort of support to your community, you can submit data through there as well.
Okay, good to know. Let's talk about kitten season. So we're recording in July. So kitten season is really April through October.
It is. Yeah, we really see... It's really interesting. So we have these automatic data transfers that we get from our shelters that submit data to us. So if you're an organization that is submitting data to us and you don't like manual data entry, if you use certain softwares, animal management softwares, you can sign up for what we call APIs for those automatic data transfers so that you don't have to submit that data manually anymore. It just comes to us automatically. And with that data, we've been able to really dive into what we call animal level data. So this is getting down into the nitty gritty with our data and looking at an animal's journey from intake through their outcome.
Just in the information that you sent me, and I just read the basic report, it gets very detailed. Let's talk about kitten season. What is kitten season? Because some of the cat lovers listening know, and some are like, I've never heard of that before.
Yes, kitten season is the time of year where we do start to see those underage kittens, typically under 8 weeks old, that are coming into the shelters to be cared for, coming into rescue groups. And that really ramps up. We see a huge spike in May. So when we look at it breaking down by region, we can see it's a little bit varied by region. But my goodness, when May hits, you just see this massive intake increase. And really that peaks around Memorial Day holiday is when we see the most cats coming in to shelters is around Memorial Day.
A female cat, they can have kittens all year long though, correct?
Yes, they can. Definitely shelters that if you are in a shelter that experiences four seasons, if you're in a community that does have four seasons, you may not see as many kittens coming in. But I live in an area in Kansas City where we have very, very mild winters and we would see kittens coming in all year round, but majority of them were coming in during those spring and summer months.
Right. And I live in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, so we have no seasons.
Yeah.
So all year long.
You are going to see them the most. And in fact, when we look at the South Atlantic, that is the highest region that sees the most kittens coming in.
Yes. But I was going to ask this question a little bit later, but I was surprised to see that the Pacific Northwest actually had the most kittens, correct?
It looks like the majority of the South Atlantic had the most by region. So, and then the Pacific was very much up there. So the Pacific region, the South Atlantic region, and West South Central also. So any of those lower states in the United States, we're seeing majority of the kittens coming in.
Okay. And why is it that, you know, everybody is just aware of kitten season, whether they don't work, say, you know, my regular listeners, cat lovers, they love cats. They don't necessarily work in shelters. Some do, you know, or rescues. But what's so important for people to know about kitten season?
Oh, there's so many things really to know about kitten season. One, I think the shelters and rescues have done a really good job over the last many, you know, 10 years or so of just informing the community how they can help kittens. And we can always strive to get the word out even more. So when kitten season is ramping up, people can use data like what we provide at Shelter Animals Count to really look at, okay, so this is the time of year that I can expect to see the most kittens coming in. So how can I get my community rallied around helping with getting all these kittens out of the shelter and eventually into new homes? So it's through fostering, asking for support through fostering, asking for donations. Kittens require a lot of very specific types of donations, like warming blankets and discs and kitchen scales. I mean, there's so many interesting things that the community can help with and provide support for. Just volunteering. Maybe the kittens are coming in, volunteering to help clean kennels. You know, just there's so many ways that you can help. And so shelters and rescues always can really inform their community about how they can help move these kittens into new homes.
What about the age of adoption? So the people that work at the shelters and rescue are pros. They can pretty much gauge the age of the kitten.
Yes. The kittens that come in, there's so many great resources out there for aging kittens and how to wean them. If they come in without a mom, how to wean them into solid food. There's so many great resources out there for shelters and rescues to follow. And around 8 weeks is typically the time where we see kittens that are going into homes. They're at least 8 weeks old.
My next question about how old. I know what you mean. One of my cats, Molly, her mom gave birth to her on my doorstep along with two others. And kittens, they take a lot of work. And they were all healthy and fine. But then when they start moving around, that's a challenge.
Yes, they become very active. Let's say it.
What can we do? I had neighbors calling because where I live, there's raccoons in the back. So neighbors calling, I had to figure out a way to keep the raccoons and put non-toxic, of course. And I had a neighbor write me a letter saying somebody put something very smelly. There was something you could do with hot pepper and something else that wasn't toxic to any animal, but it would keep the raccoons away. I had to put this smelly rag all over my property. And a neighbor called and said, "Who did that? This?" And it's like, "Sorry, hello, it's me. I didn't want the raccoons to get the kittens," you know?
I always loved, like, whenever we had kittens coming in the shelter, like every day, multiple litters of kittens. We had so many families that fostered together. Like, if it was really fun that we would see, like, kids that were naming all of the kittens. They would have just the most ridiculous set of names, but they were always so cute. And I think really another good thing for people to understand is what kittens need to come into the shelters and what kittens perhaps are being cared for by a mom. And again, there's great resources out there. If kittens are, you know, being taken care of by a mom, then there's an alternate path that you can take to potentially not have those kittens come into the shelters. But for those of them that do need to come in and get that medical support and everything that they need, the shelters are great resources for that.
Okay, we're going to talk more about that as soon as we come back. We'll be right back.
Looking to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Tori Pugate. She is the Director of Communications at Shelter Animals Count, and we're talking about kitten season. We're talking right before the break about the age of kittens, because not everybody knows this. What is the highest population of kittens at risk?
Well, definitely the highest, the most vulnerable population of kittens that are at risk are those under 4 week old kittens and the 4 to 8 week old kittens. So when we look at, we break down our non-live outcomes by age group, and we look at it's in 2024, 35% of non-live outcomes, which means they had to be euthanized or died in care, were under 4 weeks old. So those kittens are incredibly vulnerable when they come in. And then again, those 4 to 8 weeks old was about 38% of all the non-live outcomes. And kittens and fostering kittens can sometimes be a heartbreaking situation. Like you can have kittens that maybe die in care or have to be euthanized. And they're very vulnerable population. And I think that it's so important, for shelters and rescues to be very transparent about, you know, what could happen when people are fostering kittens. It can be one of the most rewarding experiences that you'll ever have in your life of taking care of kittens. But this is a very tiny and vulnerable population, and sometimes there is heartbreak associated with this. And I think it's just important to look at the data and understand that these are vulnerable populations and then work towards how do we continue to strive towards those live outcomes.
So we talked a little bit again before the break about the data and how it helps shelters. How can the data and helping shelters help the people that are just cat lovers that are listening? Does it help the cat lover to just know when to adopt kittens or what they can, how they can support the shelters? Or
yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head. It's how you can lean in and support shelters. Chances are there is a shelter or rescue near you that would love to have your help, whether it's through fostering, whether it's through donations of time or monetary gifts, supplies, whatever it is. There are a lot of kittens out there still that do need support and help. And there are a lot of groups out there that would love to have that support. And when we look at this data, we can really look at, by region, by age group, whatever it is, we can look at it and say, okay, so in May, I know that the kittens are going to come in big time. And so I can really ramp up my efforts and help them by signing up to be a foster advanced of that. Or, you know, maybe it's doing a supply drive, like a kitten shower. I love kitten showers. I think they're the cutest thing ever, like having a baby shower, but for kittens.
Wow.
Where you just get with your group of friends and say, here's the wish list for this organization. Bring supplies. We used to host them in breweries. I always thought that was so fun. Like we had a brewery that would host a kitten shower and people would come and drink beer and bring supplies for the shelter. It was always a good time.
Hey, that is a great idea, you know, having, or if someone's even having a party, don't bring anything, bring something for kittens.
Absolutely. Oh, we always had like the cutest kids that did birthday parties for the kittens. Instead of asking for birthday gifts, they asked for items from the wish list. Like just the cutest thing ever and the best kids ever. It was just adorable. So there's so many ways to help. And really just looking at the data, you can really see that timeline of when most help is needed.
So the most help is needed May through when?
So underage kittens that are under 8 weeks old peak in May, but they come in pretty much all summer. Then we start to see the 8 week old to 5 month olds. They come in June and July is when they peak coming in. So the kittens that are born in the spring that end up coming in just a little bit older. So it really just goes on. I mean, the whole year you do see kittens coming in, but May through, you know, July, August is when we see the peak times of kittens coming in.
Okay. And then one of my peeves is people sometimes forget that kittens become cats. So, you know, when you're making the commitment, they're cute little fluff balls when they're little, but they become cats. And they're part of your family while they're a kitten, while they're a juvenile kitten, while they're a cat. So I think too many people forget about that. And they're cute kittens, let me have them around. And when they become cats and more mischievous, okay, let me get rid of the cat. Dennis, my first cat, was a rescue. He was just in the streets, dumped. So what do you have to say about people that are thinking about, and I know you work for a research place, but you have enough experience with shelters, but think of people that are like, it's kitten season, I want to go get a kitten, but am I ready or not? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I think really just look at your lifestyle. Like, you know, do you have kids? How often are you home? The good news about just cat adoptions overall is that cats are still having, they're definitely having a moment in animal sheltering. Cat adoptions have just increased, and the time that they're spending in shelters, the amount of days has decreased over the past 5 years. So cats are getting adopted at a pretty significantly fast rate versus their counterpart with dogs. So we are seeing cats that are getting adopted faster than dogs. And I think a lot of that does have to do with lifestyle changes. You know, the cost of care is going up for pets. People may think that cats are, you know, more affordable to adopt. So cats are definitely continuing to have a really, really good moment. We still see, of course, a lot of senior pets coming into the shelter that need homes. And there are some amazing people out there that just love to adopt senior or special needs cats. So no matter, you know, what type of animal you're looking for, what type of cat you're looking for, just kind of look at your lifestyle, look how often you're home, thinking about, you know, what would fit best with your family. If you have other pets, all of that factors need to go into when you make a decision to adopt.
Those are good points. I also want to add, if you have super, super fancy furniture, probably a cat's not for you.
Well, they make all sorts of fun things like they cat do. Trees.
Yeah, they do. I had Jennifer Conrad from American Cats, The Good, The Bad, The Cuddly. About, did you see that movie?
No, I didn't.
Really good.
Check it out.
Protagonist is a British woman who's pregnant, and she was funny. It's not the typical kind of like a documentary that you'd see. It's wonderful. And so I mentioned that, and she said, you're wrong, because she has a lot of clients in, you know, fancy Beverly Hills and fancy areas of California that have gorgeous sofas. And I said, you're right. You know, there are deterrents. There are plenty of deterrents. And if you get a good scratcher.
Yep, a good scratcher or the little kitten claw covers, you know, the cat claw covers. Yeah.
For myself, I get the furniture that's universal because it never fails. There's going to be one of them, you know, that's going to claw. The part of my couch that has a few claw marks, there's two scratchers right in front of it. So,
oh, wow.
You know, kittens are smart and they're cunning. And if they want to, you know, get into some mischief, they will. And to me, I think just be prepared, you know,
yes.
Understand.
And here's another tip, too, that we always encourage people, if they were interested in adopting a kitten, to consider adopting two at once and getting a buddy from the same litter, potentially, or that way that they have each other to play with and cause mischief with, that they're playing with each other. And so we had great success of finding homes where people wanted to adopt two kittens and then they grew up together.
Yes, that is a great idea. Actually, my mother-in-law, when her two cats passed, she adopted two together. And they're the best of friends. They keep each other busy and they're all good. I think it's better to have two together at once rather than have one, because their cats are territorial, then add another one. So that's what happened to me. And that was a challenge. We worked through it, but that was definitely a challenge.
Yeah. Oh, good for you. Yeah. We would do even buy one, get one discounts and things like that. So it was always very successful. And it was really just so cute to see two kittens going home with a family.
I heard it from veterinarians and so, so much that if you're going to adopt two, it doesn't cost that much more. They don't eat a lot. And this way they'll keep each other company and you don't have to worry as much when you're at work or out of the house.
100%. You are absolutely right.
What do you see as trends in the near future for shelters?
That is a great question. It's really interesting when we look at year-over-year data, because we're kind of seeing We've been comparing to pre-pandemic levels of like what the animal welfare landscape and shelters and rescues looked like before the pandemic. And we've kind of established this new norm. We continue to hear about shelters that are in crisis, that shelters that are full. Dogs are staying in shelters longer, causing capacity strains. And we're continuing to see this sort of new normal with the data. And we're going to continue analyzing it. That's year over year analysis so that we can look for any sort of varying trends, especially with our mid-year analysis coming up. We'll compare it to last year, see how things are looking. But it's really exciting with this data that we've been releasing, like our kitten level analysis, the animal level analysis, because this has never been done before. So we're looking at brand new data for our industry. And because of this, we're able to look at what potential trends we can, you know, have for next year. We can say, okay, this is what the data's looked like for the last 2 years for kittens coming into the shelters. We can expect this same, you know, data for, or at least very, very close to it, for the following years. And so it's really being able to provide this level of analysis to our industry that's never been done before, and just informing trends for the future.
Right. It's like forecasting for the forecast.
Yes. And we do have forecasting dashboards for shelters too. So they can look and see, okay, this is what my year has looked like so far. So this is what I can expect for the rest of the year.
Oh, that's wonderful. Where can our listeners find out more about shelter animals count and about kitten season?
You can go to shelteranimalscount.org. We are on there. We have publicly available dashboards, so you can see national trends as well as state level data. So if you're curious of what your data is looking like in the state where you live and comparing it to those around you, you can see that. We also offer a lot of webinars and blog content that do feature information about data standardization, a lot of these deep dives into the analysis, such as the kitten data, and that's all on our blog. And so there's a lot of really exciting things that we have coming up for the rest of the year, as well as looking towards next year and just offering more and more resources for our shelters, our rescues, and the animal welfare industry as a whole.
Well, that's wonderful. Tori, thank you so much for all you do for the kittens and the cats.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much. You can follow us on social media as well, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Substack.
Okay, thanks so much. I hope all of you enjoyed the show. I want to thank Tori Fugate, the Director of Communications for Shelter Animals Count, for coming on Catitude. Thanks so much to my loyal listeners of Catitude. I appreciate you so much. Thanks to my rescue cats, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, my wonderful cat crew. And of course, this show would not be the same without the magic of my producer, Mark Winter. Thank you so much, Mark, for all you do. And remember, lose the attitude, have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.